My husband for years has said that home is the forward operating base of heaven. And if you're anything like me, you don't know much about military concepts, and so you may have no clue what a forward operating base is. So when asking my husband what a forward operating base is, it is a secure position close to enemy lines where strategic operations are launched out of, I believe. That is the context in military situations. A forward operating base is placed in these situations. It is good for shelter, it's good for resupplying, and it's in the front line. And so, why would he call home the forward operating base of heaven? Because we are in a war. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, it is against demonic principalities. We will read it straight from the Bible. I'm reading my ESV Bible. So we'll start at verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I recommend you carry on reading it, especially for such a time as this. But back to home being the forward operating base, we are in a spiritual battle. And when you're focus when your priority is building your home, you are actively engaging in the spiritual battle. So often in Christian circles, you think that the only way to be useful to the Lord is to go be a missionary. I had thought that so much of my life when I was young. It wasn't until after I got married, and actually after we had started trying to have children, that I felt the weight of having children. That having children is an active role of participating in the Lord's prayer of "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is what revival is. If we look up, I have my old dictionary in front of me, and the word revival, I'll actually put it up on the screen for you. Although there's been a track record of people, I post pictures of my dictionary definitions, and then they will steal my content and actually steal my pictures of my dictionary to create their own content, stealing my stuff. It's mind-blowing. It's just, if you're stealing my stuff, God sees you, and that is not right. Just give honor. Just share my link to my video instead of just taking my stuff and recreating it on your own. All you have to do is just share what I've already made. I'm not stealing from anyone when I post these things. Anyways, revival. It actually means, I mean, over and over, there's so many definitions. Unfortunately, it starts on one page and ends on the other. This is my late 1800s dictionary, and the first definition is return, recall, recovery to life from death or apparent death, return or recall to activity from a state of languor. Recall, return, or recovery from a state of neglect, oblivion, obscurity, depression. So, revival is to recall and return. So, when we say we are asking God for a revival, we are wanting a return to God. And so, a return to God means a return to God's ways, and we are not passive in that. We get to be active participants in the revival by returning to God's ways, and God's ways are in His Word, and it's so clear, and yet we ignore them. I just did my last video on Titus 2 and how it says that the older women are to train the younger women to what is good. And then it carries on to say the things that are good, and those things that it says are good are the things that are the most neglected in our world today. And there's that quote that I say often, "The state of the home reflects the state of the nation." And okay, so I was getting ready to say, and I still haven't figured out who actually said that, but instead of leaving that in there, I did some deep diving, and I believe that that quote was distilled from German Emperor, I imagine it's like Wilhelm, if you pronounced it accurately. And it is from this quote, and he says, "The foundation of national welfare is the family. If the family is healthy, then the people in the state are also healthy. The moral strength of a people rests upon the sanctity of the home." Amen. That is so good. So back to what I was saying. The state of the home reflects the state of the nation, and we can see the state of our nation. I mean, I'm recording this on Thursday, so yesterday was the absolute horrific of, actually, I don't think I can say that word. Yesterday was the horrific event of Charlie Kirk being killed. Again, I don't even know, I can't use those words in these videos. I'll probably get the video taken down, but, and I've seen a lot of Christian responses to this being, we need to be okay with disagreeing. We can disagree and we can be okay with other people having different opinions than us. And it's like, yes, and what is the next thing? We need to return to God's ways. We have to start doing what the Bible says because God's ways are good. God loves us. His design for us is good. The way he made us is good. So the things that he says are good in the Bible, it's not to make our life miserable. Following God's ways for us isn't to put a burden on us. It's not, especially with women. People think that being submissive is God basically holding a grudge against us. Like, oh, God didn't like women, so he made men be authority over them. Actually, it's the opposite. God loves women. God loves how he designed us. He designed us uniquely different from how he designed men. And because we are designed uniquely different, our function is uniquely different. And by God's goodness and grace, he created men to be protectors of women and children. And so men need to function as men so that women can function as women, so that we don't have to try to be men. We don't have to try to function like men and be masculine and provide and protect and carry that burden that God did not design us to carry to begin with. He designed that for men, fathers, husbands. There is a grace on their natural, physical, mental design makeup that God has wired them to function as men so we can be free to be women. It is for our good. And we as women have unique roles and functions that then in turn help our husband for them to be better at their role. And then our husbands being good at their role then helps us to be good at our role. And that is how you have a society that works, is when men and women have their domains, they focus on their domains, and they believe that what they are doing is valuable and important. And sadly, in our world today, most women do not believe the work of the home, or they've been duped or fooled. And I would say even most men don't believe that the work of women at home is important, because a lot of husbands are sending their wives out to work. And if that is you, you are honoring God by submitting to your husband by going to work. And that is hard. My heart goes out to you. It is painful. I know so many of you comment that say you would love to be home, but your husband has asked you to work, and so you're being obedient to him. And that is the truth. And God will vindicate you, because again, in God's word, it says that wives are to submit to their own husband. So although I am making videos about the value of a wife working at home from her home, in her home, building her home economy, there are many of you who don't have that as an option right now. And so you're trying to do both. You're building your home economy while you're also having to leave your home to go work a job outside of the home, because that's what your husband has asked you to do. And God bless you. God sees you in secret. He will reward you openly. Matthew 6:6. And great will be your reward for obeying your husband as unto the Lord. And you can also be praying and asking God to bring revelation to your husband, that he would hear God's voice, or that God would bring other godly men into your husband's life that would mentor him and help him. Pray and ask God to give you strength in the season that you're in, and be cheerful with where you are. Do what you can with your home, but you can't do everything, and that is the truth. So take that pressure off of you. That is not what I want with my videos, is to put the weight of being a homemaker and working a job. And a lot of times on YouTube, you will see many women make videos and say, you can be a homemaker and work a job, because they don't want to offend anyone. And you can, but it's hard. And so I understand if you go and buy convenient food, because you physically cannot go and work outside of the home and then come home and do all the work of the home. That's understandable. I understand that. And I never want my videos to make you feel guilty for not building your home, because you do not have the capacity. That's the whole point with all of my videos, is you cannot do it all. And so that's why even more recently, I'm trying to focus my videos on single ladies, because something that, yes, if you're married, you need to pray for your husband. You need to keep the covenant with your husband. And what you can also do is then teach the younger ladies around you in things to look for with a husband. We need to teach the young ladies who are not yet married the important questions to ask when they're getting married, of, will you let me be a homemaker? Will you let me stay home? Will you let me quit my job? Be a part of a church family where that's normal, so that way your husband can see, or your soon-to-be husband could see, that, okay, there are a lot of families in this church where the wives are at home and taking care of children. That is a good and positive vision for us to have. Helping our young ladies marry God-fearing men who want to follow God's ways and who believe in what Titus 2 says of what is good. It is good to be wives, mothers, and keepers of the home. And so you want to marry a man who believes in those things. And I think that's why it's so hard making videos like this, because everyone's in such a different place. Everyone has such a unique circumstance. And so it's hard to speak to each unique circumstance as if I'm having coffee with you, because everyone has a unique circumstance. But in your circumstance, seek the Lord. When I first married Scott, I picked up right away that he had his Bible, and in his Bible he had a bookmark, and his bookmark was questions that he was seeking God about. And so as he was reading the Bible, their questions would be at the forefront of his mind, because that's what he would look at before he started reading the Bible. And he would see if, while he's reading God's word, if anything in God's word speaks to the questions that he's asking God. So you can do that. So even though I'm talking broadly about things, whatever you're crying out to God for in your unique circumstance, write it on a bookmark or in your phone or in your journal, and seek the Lord in his word to speak to you about those things. God's word is alive and active, and he can speak to us today on exactly what we need to hear. So we're 15 minutes into the video, and I haven't even finished talking about why my husband calls home the forward operating base of heaven. It is because your home is your first mission field. As I said earlier, I had this opinion that when I was in college is really where it started. I wanted to be of use to the Lord. I wanted to give my life to the Lord. I wanted to serve him in whatever way he would have me serve him. And the only vision I had for that was to be a missionary. And by being a missionary, it meant going to another country with another people group and leaving my people, my home, my place, my family, my parents' household, to go and be a missionary somewhere else. And even after Scott and I got married, we still had that thought process of, we are going to be missionaries, and to be missionaries, we will have to go. We were thinking South Africa at that time, because Scott and I met on the mission field. And so that was what we had thought. And when we went back to the place in 2018 where we thought we were going to be missionaries, we had no peace. We were like, this is not where God's calling us to be. And Scott felt very strongly, we are called to be in America. That is where we're supposed to be. But then our whole worldview kind of got turned upside down, because we were like, well, how can you be a missionary in America? What does it look like to be a missionary in America? And I feel like that's when God graciously took us on a journey of understanding what His Word says about family. And Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wisest of women builds her home." Different versions say different things. Some versions say, "The wisest of women build her house," "The wisest of women builds her household." It all covers the same thing. Home, household, place, her domain, what is within her realm of control. And control, not in a bad way, but control of, we don't have control about a lot of what's happening in the world. Even with what happened with Charlie Kirk, I was thinking, I can only imagine how many moms are like, what do we do about this? Like, what am I supposed to do? I am busy every day with my children, taking care of my children, feeding my children, and like, is this enough? I feel like I should be doing more. And I was thinking, no one's telling the women that that is the most important work. What you're doing at home with your children, you taking care of your household, the Bible says is the wisest thing a woman can do. You are a wise woman if you are prioritizing building up your household. And then it says a foolish woman destroys it. So if you are neglecting your home to go and do other things, the Bible actually calls you a foolish woman. And if we go to Titus 2, where it says they are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husband, that the word of God may not be reviled, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So if we're not teaching young women this, the word of God is being blasphemed, and we can only teach that which we are doing ourselves. So if we are not doing these things, then the word of God is being blasphemed. The wisest of women build her home. It is good to be a wife, a mother, and a keeper of the home. We are where we are in our world today because the home has been abandoned, because women have decided to leave their domain of the home and go get careers outside of the home, and therefore pawning off their children to be raised by someone else. And those children that are being raised by someone else are not being trained in the way that they should go. Because oftentimes the people who are training those children do not have a biblical worldview. Again, this comes back to the problem with sending our daughters into college institutions to be taught under professors that do not have a biblical worldview. And actually, not only do they not have a biblical worldview, but they are grossly offended by a biblical worldview. So she is being taught in everything in the opposite way. I mean, if you see that there was a professor at MTSU who had a grossly offensive response to what happened yesterday, and praise God she got fired, but I think that there should be even more justice for having that type of response, celebrating the death of someone. Those are the people who are teaching your children when you send them to college. Why would you put your children under that? I do not understand. I do not understand how we do not think that you spend your whole life training your children only then for them to be at 18 years old to throw them as sheep among wolves and be like, well, good luck, hopefully you have it all figured out. Why do we do that? Why do we send our kids outside of the home the moment they turn 18? It's because we do not have a biblical worldview. We have cared way too much about what the world thinks of us. I'm getting a little bit fired up, but this is what I was talking about at the beginning of this video? I actually had started this video and then I heard a chicken go wild, and so I went outside, and then when I came back in, I thought, I think I'm gonna restart this. So I don't think I said it at this video, but we once heard a Sri Lankan pastor, and he said that when Jesus was angry, he did something about it. He made a whip. And so the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. The Bible doesn't say do not be angry. So when something makes you angered, so I think for many of us, you go from sadness of what happened yesterday, and then you feel an anger. And so what do you do with your anger? You have to do something with it. And that is what I hope to be the purpose of this video. For me, I'm making a YouTube video to encourage you to build your home. Be a wise woman who builds your home. The work that you're doing in your home is irreplaceable. You training your children in the way that they should go, nobody can do that better than you. And remind yourself of Matthew 6:6 when you are doing things that are hard, difficult, repetitive, that no one else sees, you don't get celebrated for. God sees you. Matthew 6:6, God who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And we have to believe that. Great will be your reward. I actually just heard recently, it popped up on my Instagram, a podcast of, I don't know who she was. She was some lady, and she was talking about, she was talking about purity culture. And I honestly have an issue with the word purity culture, because I'm like, don't we want purity? Purity's good. Actually, Titus 2 says, teach the younger women to be pure. So purity culture, I think I'm all about it, but we have to know why. The why of being pure. And she made a comment that I highly disagree with. She said that in purity culture, young people were taught that there is a reward for obedience and how that is prosperity gospel. And I'm like, have you not read your Bible? There is a reward for obedience. We obey God because we love Him. We obey God because His ways are good. And when His ways are good, there is a reward for following those ways naturally. So when it comes to saving yourself for marriage, there is a reward in this lifetime. Not even when we get to heaven, there is a reward. There is a reward that you do not have the pain of having given yourself to someone who does not love you the way that Christ loved the church. And again, these type of topics are always so hard to talk about because you never want to hurt people because of the sin that they did. However, I've said in other videos, it is unkind not to be honest for the sake of those who have not given away their purity. We have to have the uncomfortable conversations to encourage the young ladies to be pure. It is good to be pure. There is a reward for saving yourself for your future husband. And it can be done. I've said this before, and I'm not saying this out of pride or boastfulness. I'm saying this as a testimony to God can help you save yourself for your husband. He did it for me. He did it for my husband. And we reap the reward in our marriage because we were both virgins when we got married. And so this thought of God rewards obedience is wrong in the prosperity gospel. I'm like, do you know who God is? Do you know that God's good and He wants good for us? And so naturally there will be a reward for following His ways when His ways are good and His ways are for our good. And so we have to say the why. We have to say why you save yourself for marriage, because it is painful to give yourself to those who will not love you for the rest of your life. There are natural physical consequences to you giving your body to a man who is not your husband. This video isn't even about purity. It's not even really about singleness, I think, but it all does come back to home. Because these are all things that can and should be taught within the home to prepare our next generation for being wives, mothers, and then going out and building their own home economies and giving them positive examples, positive visions for doing these things. I'm gonna wrap up this video with a quote from Catherine Beecher. She is one of my heroes of the faith. She was a huge proponent in the home economics movement in the late 1800s. And she was a woman who herself never had children, but her whole purpose in life was to help women be their very best, to be excellent women at being wives, keepers of the home, and mothers, and helping them in the domain of the home. And in 1873, she said, "For a child is born in utter ignorance of God's laws and of his obligation to obey them. And it is only by the slow and gradual process of experience and training that he gains this knowledge." Again, training your children in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. "Still more is he dependent on educators for motives to excite obedience." Exciting obedience to what? Exciting obedience to God's ways. How many of our educators today are exciting obedience in our youth to God's ways? Which is why so many are homeschooling. "The great want of humanity is right instruction as to the laws by which the best good of all is secured, and powerful motives to induce obedience to these laws." I'm currently reading through her book called Miss Beecher's Housekeeper and Health Keeping. And this chapter title is called On the Right Use of Time and Property. And at the beginning of this chapter, she talks about the importance of training your children in obedience. And when we don't train our children into obedience, we get to where we are as a culture. And when we put them in institutions where the opposite is happening, of educators for motives to excite obedience, and instead there's educators to motivate exciting obedience to worldly ways, I can say from my own personal experience that I had very liberal professors that excited in me obedience to the opposite of God's ways. And I was naive because a lot of these professors used Christianity, but they used it in a twisted Marxist socialist way. And God made women to care and be nurturers. And so here I am being duped, thinking that America is the enemy and that men are the enemy and that borders are a problem and that we should open the borders for everyone. And it wasn't even until I met my husband that I learned that I was totally indoctrinated into communist beliefs and ideas and socialist beliefs and ideas through the professors that I had at the university that I went to. And praise the Lord for my husband and him teaching me and me learning that, wow, actually, those are not biblical beliefs or worldviews at all. But I didn't know because I was very trusting of the system. I hope that you got something from this video. I may have been a little bit fiery in it, but this is a topic that I really do care a lot about, and this is what I want my whole channel to be about. And I have kind of pulled away a lot from sharing on YouTube, but it's really been out of discouragement because, and it's so weird to talk about these things on social media, but I have seen a huge increase. It's happened for years, but it has massively increased, I think, because people are seeing social media as a way to make money. And so I've seen many Christians take concepts that I have shared on. And you could say, like, well, how do you know they're yours? Because I don't know anyone else who is sharing on specific concepts that I share on. But they are taking those concepts and then using those to build, to make money. That's the as simple as it is to make courses, make money, have people charge hundreds of dollars. And so seeing that, I'm like, oh wow, I'm giving free content, and then people are Christians, Christian women are using free content, taking it, putting it in their course material, and then making money from it. And so for me, I'm like, that's really dishonoring. And why are you doing that? Scott's friend Riley, I overheard them talking one time, and his friend Riley said, you lose nothing by giving honor. And unfortunately, in a world where everyone is trying to build their own empire, and you can't say where you've learned something from, because then that would point people to them instead of pointing people to your paid material. And so you don't share, or you don't give credit, because you want to keep people in your bubble. But you don't lose anything from giving honor. And yeah, and so because of that, and I mean, I could get really specific. I've had people take entire videos and repost it and not link to my page or anything. And I've had people steal my pictures and reuse them. I've had people take my transcripts of my videos and turn it into blogs. And it's just mind-blowing to me. I'm like, this is where we are as a Christian culture, is just taking people's stuff and then reusing it as your own. It's so discouraging, and it's made me not want to share on social media, because I spend so much time researching. Like, even this quote from Catherine Beecher was from me doing a rabbit trail of research and reading, and then I find quotes, and then people go and use old quotes that I've shared on, and as if they discovered the book. And I'm like, what you don't see with my videos is the countless hours of me reading things and looking things up, because I want to make these videos to encourage Christian ladies. And so, yeah, seeing people steal stuff, it's like, I don't have to do this. I don't have to make videos. I literally have so much work to do in my own home that I don't have to do this. I do find great joy from doing it. It's part of my husband's mission and purpose. He feels very strongly about is giving a positive vision and changing culture through media. And that's why I have a YouTube channel. If Scott told me that he didn't want me to do a YouTube channel, I would give it up today. But he's always been pro giving a positive vision. And we do have exciting things coming up for those of you who always want to know, when is Scott coming back? When is your Scott and Kelly channel? When are you going to make more videos? We have been this entire year working on something. It will be behind a little bit of a paywall, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we have not been sharing, and that's really just to make the space a little bit more secure, but it would be the same cost as a latte at your local coffee shop if you bought a latte once a month. So I'm not charging you $300 to have access to the things that we share, but yeah, that's coming, so stay tuned for that if you have made it this far in the video. And I will also, like, us creating that takes absolutely nothing away from what I'm sharing on this channel. And with what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday, it shifted my whole perspective on self-protection and self-preservation and feeling discouraged about sharing things because people are stealing stuff. And I'm always here what Paul says in the Bible of so long that the word is shared, or he says so long as the word is preached. But I'm not preaching, I'm just teaching, I'm encouraging. So we have bigger fish to fry. There's bigger problems in the world than other Christians stealing this stuff. And as long as the message gets out there and women are believing in their work in the home, that they have a conviction that what they're doing is good and meaningful, and that it gives you excitement, that it promotes excitement to follow God's ways, that is what this is all about. So I hope that this has somehow encouraged you. Sorry that it's been a long talking video, and I originally had a homemakers chats video for today, but that will be put up at another time. So I hope you enjoyed this video, and I hope that you have a good rest of your day.